The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live,
looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And I assume that is the number that Mike in Northwest Columbus called, or he has found some super secret backdoor phone number that no one else has used. Mike, welcome.
Yes, I'm using the same backdoor that the voting system has used to get access to everything in the world.
I thought you were going to say you were using the bat phone.
Oh, no, that broke. I had to resort to the Dominion software backdoor.
All right, what's on your mind, Mike?
Well, you mentioned biases. Yeah, we have people have biases. There's biases, but sometimes, is what I seem to hear people on this show, it's there's a bigotry. It's kind of gone too far. I hear, you know, I'm biased. I have a conservative bias, and don't have bigotry towards liberalism. It just seems that doesn't. It's always generated the opposite of a state of consent. Mm-hmm. What I hear from people is a bigotry towards Republicans. It's not a bias; it's a bigotry that they're evil and you know, from people who seem to be in the religious line of work. It just it happens. I hear in this show and other places that, you know, if you're a Republican, you're evil because you're a Republican, and it's a general bigotry.
I would concur with that, Mike, and I think that's a good observation. There, most of the sentiment in the press concerning Donald Trump is not bias, it's bigotry. Mm-hmm. And it's clear bigotry. I watched part of a news conference yesterday with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and the press was literally fawning over both of them. Seriously, literally just fawning over them. I watched Kelly McEnerney, the press secretary for Donald Trump. I watched a little bit of her press conference, and the press were screaming, yelling, shouting, disrespecting her. And I thought, what a difference between the two people. And here is a woman. She's the press secretary. She's not the president. And they're yelling and screaming and disrespecting her. Because I think you pointed out there is a bigotry. It's not just a bias; it's a bigotry.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's in the pulpit too, and it's, you know, there's bigotry towards Republicans. They can't tell you detail by detail why they feel that way, why that's issue by issue. They never are clear about that. So you don't know why they feel that way because they don't tell you.
Well, I don't think they know. I honestly, because facts and truth are not principles that the liberal left embraces. It's emotion, hysteria, you know. Donald Trump is bad. Donald Trump is evil. Donald Trump is a racist. You know, I've had people call many, many, many times over the last 4 years and say, Donald Trump is a racist. Okay, give me an example. Well, at that Charleston demonstration, he said that the KKK were good people. He didn't say that. Didn't say anything close. In fact, he said the opposite. He condemned them. Can you give me another illustration? Well, everybody knows he's a racist. Okay, give me an illustration. Everybody just It's emotion, it's hysteria, but not facts, not truth. And sadly, that is characteristic of the liberal left. It really is.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Thanks. All right. I wanted to air that.
All yeah. right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Bob.
And it's a good point. We all have bias. Just admit it. For the last 20 years, I have admitted my bias. Yes, I'm biased. And I'm not going to go through it all because I did about 30 minutes ago. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I am a biblicist. I believe every single word of the Bible is true. And I am a conservative, politically and theologically. That is my bias. But I admit it. And I don't mind bias, as long as you admit it. But don't go on national news and say, I am a journalist and I am a newscaster and I am neutral and unbiased. Don't tell me that when your bias is absolutely clear. So, all right. Thanks, Mike, for the call. I love this story. Let's leave just for a moment the negativity and the politics and all of that. And let me tell you about a little boy named Zachariah. Zachariah, his mother, Rebecca, wanted to abort him. In fact, she went to a Planned Parenthood clinic and received the abortion pill. The clinic gave her the abortion pill, gave her the instructions and so forth, and sent her home. She got into the parking lot of the abortion clinic and began to weep. She realized that she had made a terrible, terrible mistake. Here's a quote from her story. Having taken the abortion drug, Rebecca got into her car and started to cry, praying to God for help. While in the Planned Parenthood parking lot, she searched online and came upon Heartbeat International's Abortion Pill Rescue Network. Now, almost all of you are familiar with Heartbeat International because we partner with them at least once a year. And you're familiar with the Abortion Pill Rescue Network because I talk about it often. Well, the person on the other end of the phone, which was here in Columbus, Ohio, their call center for the Abortion Pill Rescue Network and Heartbeat International is right here in Columbus. So that phone call came into Columbus. The Abortion Pill Rescue Network consultant connected Rebecca with a doctor who started the abortion pill reversal. The protocol that would save her unborn son. Again, I'm quoting from the story. Once the treatment was underway, Rebecca gathered the courage to tell her parents about the precious unborn life she was trying to save. Her family came together, stood by her in her choice to keep her child. Here's the part I love. 7 months later, Rebecca gave birth to a perfectly healthy baby boy she named Zachariah, the name meaning the Lord has remembered. She has since married, has continued having a family, and she works with Heartbeat International in raising awareness and support for the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. And I am looking at a picture of Zachariah, who I believe is now 7 years old, absolutely normal, and the joy and the delight of Rebecca and her husband. Planned Parenthood is doing everything they can to kill little babies like Zachariah. But praise God for Heartbeat International, pregnancy centers all over America, and the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of wonderful stories of babies saved from certain death. It's a great story. All right. We'll take the final break of this hour. Final break of this week, come to think of it. And then we'll be back and wrap things up.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
I usually give this little speech at the end of the very end of the day on Friday, but sometimes my time management skills are not all that they should be. So let me do it now. Folks, listen. The local church has never been more important in American history. I believe with all my heart, the local church is God's instrument to reach the world. The local church. Now, one of the callers referred to earlier, there's one church. Well, I agree with that. I agree with the doctrine of the universal church. The doctrine of the universal church just says that every single born-again believer on planet Earth is a part of the church, the universal church. And I believe that that exists doctrinally. So I believe in the doctrine of the universal church. However, everything that God accomplishes is not through the universal church, but the local church. Now, let that sink in. The local church. I have said this now for almost 50 years. I've said it in small groups, large groups. I've said it on the radio probably hundreds of times. And so far, not one single person has contradicted me. Maybe today will be a first. Here is what I have said for 50 years. Show me one thing in the New Testament that God did that was not by, through, or for a local church. Let me repeat it. I double dog dare you to show me anything that God did in the New Testament that was not by, through, or for a local church. So far, no one has given me an example of anything that God did in the New Testament that was not by, through, or for a local church. Again, I believe in the concept of the universal church. But almost nothing that God has instructed us to do can be done through the universal church. It has to be through local churches. The Great Commission. The universal church has not sent out a single missionary. It's always a local church or a local church organization. Well, what about the offerings for the poor people in Jerusalem? Yeah, Paul went around to local churches, collected money, brought it back to Jerusalem, and distributed it through the local church in Jerusalem. Most of the New Testament are letters written to a local church, or in the case of the book of Galatians, a series of local churches in the region called Galatia. What about church discipline? Yeah, you can't exercise that with a universal church. That's got to be a local church. And on and on and on and on and on. Communion, baptism, okay. I hope I've made my point. And the ultimate point is local churches like yours, like mine, this is God's plan for reaching the world. And the mess that the world is in today, the mess that America is in today, the division that we find ourselves in makes the local church more important than any time in American history. But the local church is under attack. In many areas of the United States, the local churches are under attack by governments. State government, county government, city government. And you and I have dealt with dozens of those cases where local churches have literally been attacked by state government, city government, county government. The church is under attack. The church is under attack by this whole COVID-19 thing. Today, I have read of at least three churches that have been meeting together. Inside, meeting together, social distancing and all that. But announced today, we can't meet together for the next 2 to 3 weeks because we had some people in the church that had the COVID-19 thing, and we just don't think it's right to meet together until, okay. So churches were coming back together, churches were coming back inside, and now we're seeing churches, not every, in fact, not most, but we're seeing several churches saying, oh, no, we can't meet, can't do it. The church is under attack by this whole COVID-19 thing. Church is under attack financially. Many churches are suffering dramatically financially because of the whole COVID-19 thing. Offerings are down. Expenses kind of stay the same. Here's what I want you to hear and understand. There's never been a time when you needed your local church more than now. There's never been a time that your local church needs you more than now. This weekend, be a part of a Bible-believing church. If your church is meeting in person, be there. Joy and I will be at Central Baptist down on Frank Road this coming Sunday morning, part of their missions conference. Be there tomorrow night as well. Central Baptist Church, Frank Road, will be there this coming Sunday morning. If your church is meeting in person, find a way to be there. If your church is meeting online, then meet online. Support your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Support your church financially. Somehow, some way, be involved in a local Bible-believing church. This is the ultimate answer to America, not government. Have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.